Hill Reel 4.
Adrian, we've been looking at a drawing of a German dugout. I believe there's a story attached to that.
Yes. Yes, there is a real story about this one. Because we were following up the general retreat in 1918, and I was very keen to get all the information I could to send back to headquarters of the interior life, as they called it, of the war. Being a trench war for so long, dugouts played a very important part. And so whenever we were going forward, I would dash down, find the first dugout, and go down it just to make my drawing of it. I found this one, this shallow one. I left my runner. I was always accompanied by a runner. He sat on the, or out, just outside the dugout. And I went down and I found the drawing, which Joseph has just picked out. It's a dark interior, shallow, not many steps down, and in the background are a couple of German dead. And I started my drawing, and this, and you have to believe me here, is all I can remember of it. That I did what I did, which seems to be, to me, quite a finished kind of drawing. And that was that. Now, I found out the story of the end of this drawing from the runner who was outside that dugout, who had seen me as many years after, in 50 or 52 or 3, when I was on television. And he wrote to me, and he said, I shall never forget the time when we were, I was your servant, or batman, or runner. We used many expressions, depending where we were on the line. He was my runner there, accompanying me wherever I went. I'll never forget waiting for you as you dashed down that dugout, that interior, the way many steps down. And he said, I always used to watch you about a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, and you didn't come up. And I went down, and there you were, out, as far as I could see, and I dragged you up the steps. And I shall never forget seeing you and thinking, good God, the man must be gassed, because the Bosch at that time, Bosch we used to call the Hun sometimes, the Hun, of course, was the German. Got it?
Yes.
Right. Joseph, you keep up very well with me. What had happened, I had no knowledge at all that I was dragged out in a state of half gassed, or presumably I was alive but very badly gassed. I must have tripped over some booby trap or something which let loose the gas, or there was a gas in the dugout that suddenly overcame me. But all I know was that I was going down in a vague sort of way in an ambulance, and sometime during this time I caught, or it was passed on to me by somebody or other, the dreaded Spanish flu. So all I can tell you, from the time that I went down to that trench, or that dugout, to the time November, this would have been November 2, of course, but 2 or 3 weeks, were cut out of my life. Because I came to, in the 63rd General Hospital down at Camier, with a dear old, very, very Christian, genial Roman Catholic priest sitting on the end of my bed, and with some old tattered copies of the studio. And he said, hello, how are you? And I sort of rubbed my eyes and, well, discovered that I was alive, I suppose. And he said, I hear you were a war artist, and so I brought down some studios for you. And he was a Roman Catholic, and I remark this because I feel I always want to pay a special due to the Roman Catholics, of whom I am not of the number, that I was in the dangerous ward, H ward, because we were all suffering from the Spanish flu, which was very, very infectious. And unlike our own Church of England, who I'm told you put their heads in and just say, any C of E's here, he just came in, and there he was. That is the story, Joseph, of that particular drawing of the dugout. When I see it now, it comes back to me of what I've forgotten.
Yes, it's one of the drawings which are on display from time to time in the museum, in the main displays of the collection, of course. It's one of those drawings which is there for because it evokes both a historical moment and the scene, which is popular too with the people who come to look at things in the museum.
Well, that's, I'm very glad to hear that, Joseph, because now that I've told it again, I know that this is what makes it a drawing that I shall always feel has something special about it.
Yes, that's right. There are a number of drawings of yours which are asked for in the museum if they're not on display. I think that's a drawing that we quite often have on display. Mm. The Three Graces is a drawing which is quite well known in the museum.
Yes.
I don't know, have you anything you remember especially about drawing those three soldiers?
Well, there is a story behind a story there, because I did this in the spirit of defiance. They were, and here you will have to believe me, if they weren't dead, they were practically that way. The two, there's one man on the right and one man on the left, and the others, you can be frozen into death, as it were, because I got to know so many of the opposite thing. Oh, dear, dear, I can't say thank God. I can't thank God for anybody who's dead in those circumstances. But to me, the German dead were always died in curious positions. They looked as if they were getting up, or they were stretching, or they got a bit of pain. Well, that was recognisable, a pain. But they were so odd that I had to draw them in that position. And those three, I think there wasn't much life in any of them.
Yes.
One might have been saying, but that's about as much life there was in him.
Yes.
And why I called it the Three Graces, I don't know, because they were trying to end their life in a graceful way, I suppose.
Yes, yes. Well, it's a drawing which, as I say, is asked for members of the public who remember seeing the drawing when they come to the museum and who are ask if it's on display or if they can see it in the
But it's one of the drawings I felt I had to do, and the Imperial War Museum liked having, because they thought this is something that really did happen, or it had happened.
Yes, that's right.
And there was a man on the spot who did it, so it becomes a legitimate record.
Yes, that's right. And the crashed plane was another drawing that you really felt was some compulsion to do.
Yes, I had that. I saw it, and immediately it didn't matter. Well, of course it did matter whether it had the English mark or the German cross thing on it. It was a German plane, so I suppose I ought to have said, we got that chap down. But I felt so sorry for the plane itself. It might have had an English airman in it or a German, but this poor thing, half burnt and just like a singed dragonfly or something. In fact, I think it was entitled by the Sphere, which reproduced it as a double page, the Fallen Dragonfly. I said, curious now I'm talking to you about it, is that it wasn't so much the person in it, but the poor thing itself.
Yes, yes.
Which gives it an added sort of punch.
I quite understand that.
Yes. Yes. It's the story behind the story, isn't it, so much?
Yes.
That sometimes these drawings, that we've been looking through them this morning, and you've picked on some, and I've said, you like that one, and you've said, yes, there's something about it. And I said, well, there was something about the scene that I wanted to make a drawing of.
Yes.
But to anybody who wasn't there or wasn't in touch with the person who was there, would just flip it over.
Yes.
Something in the it's what the artist, I suppose, is always attempting to say, this is what I found in it. This is why I wanted to draw it. And I said, the greatest compliment is the person says, I like that. And it is because the drawing has said, do you see what he's trying to see in me? And you said, yes, I do. That's your answer. And that completes the picture.
That's right, yes. I suppose it's a rather more documentary drawing, but another drawing that's quite popular in the museum now is a drawing called A Penny All the Way.
Oh, that was the buses.
Yes, that's right. You may know that the old Contemptibles have recently given us one of these London buses, which they've run on the streets of London for some time and taken part in various processions, which we call Old Bill.
Yes.
This is in the museum collection. Now of this bus, but I suppose they were a remarkable sight, these buses.
Yes, you often did see them, and in the end I had pulled up there and I was travelling by car, of course, on the back of the lines, and I said, here, I must get one of these. I'm sure the Imperial War Museum would like to see these, and that was one, as you say, that brings back memories and also is a real record. But one I would like to say, and I haven't, it isn't in the Imperial War Museum, but it is in the regimental collection of my drawings. It's a little German light engine which has got itself in somehow strangled between two shattered trees. It's so unique that I had to make a drawing of it. And I said, now that was in, say, 1916. And in 1971, I said, anybody who lives at Midhurst would know that the closing of the closed walks and cutting down the yew trees and turning it into a building estate was a great lament for all of us. It happened. But when we heard that it was threatened, my wife and I were walking through it, and suddenly I thought, what an extraordinary thing it would be to see an engine, an old steam engine, wandering around or stuck or in distress in a wood like this. And I said, since then, I've done a series of these drawings, which I call drawings in distress, engines in distress. And I said, I find that when people see them, they're absolutely riveted with them. Why is it that we like the old steam engine? And I said, I've done all kinds of pictures round about here where we found the engine. And I said, and then I started making up a story. And I got one of these Atlantics washed up on the shores of Paris-Plage or somewhere like that. It's called Export Reject.
And yes. I
made up this impossible Lewis Carroll story about it. And I find now that my friends come round and say, have you done another engine drawing in distress? And I wondered, they said, why did it start? How did it start with you? And I'm telling you, Joseph, the origin of it.
Yes.
And when I was up at the headquarters of my old regiment, I was flicking through the pages in one of their albums where these drawings are, I suddenly saw this drawing. And I said, that's where it came from.
Yes, there must be other ways in which the work you did during the First World War have carried on, or there have been reminiscences in your work. Are there many, do you think, or is it rather unimportant, really, in your
I think that it does come in. It does come into my paintings. I said, there's only one painting that the Imperial War Museum have of mine, and The ones that I've done since, because I am an oil painter, more than a watercolour painter now, if they have a bias towards the abstract, they will be rather ruins and not historic so much, but as human ruins. I feel somehow I put, perhaps, I'm sure unconsciously, into the arches or the facades or the trees, something that's as poignant and tragic but there is this feeling of inevitable decay. And why I've been able to sell some of them, I don't know, because they strike rather a tragic note. But I think that must be the feeling that perhaps like Powers has, that there is something of a life in even material. Bricks and mortar have a life of their own, and there's something that one stands and looks at and perhaps ponders and says, I wonder whether they felt it, that one's lamenting with them for what's happened. It's been tragic. I said, you see, I must admit now, and as you, Joseph, have seen, our front garden is the ruins of the famous Cowdrey House.
Yes.
And so I must have this picture of ruins, of destruction.
Yes.
Always in front of me, and it's very, very deep bedded in my visual attitude to life.
Yes, and perhaps something of that poignant quality was
triggered off by
the First World War.
Yes, I think that is so. I think that.